ALPA pushes the bureaucrats on crew rest rules. The TSA has apologized for another insensitive screening. And Bolden says commercial space is months away, not years. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 6th, 2011. New regulations for minimum crew rest periods, based on science, were a personal crusade for FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt when he first got the job. They were demanded by Congress after the Colgan 3407 crash, and a panel of industry stakeholders got together and created them. But they've been sitting for months now, bottled up in administrative review. ALPA, the Airline Pilots Association International, joined more than 100 members of Congress Tuesday in calling on President Obama to ensure that U.S. airline pilots are adequately rested to safely perform their jobs by directing the appropriate government agencies to immediately issue standardized flight and duty time limits and minimum rest requirements for flight crews. Captain Lee Moak, ALPA's president, said, quote, "Despite the 2 months that have passed since the deadline set by Congress, the new science-based pilot fatigue regulations remain stalled in bureaucratic review. This delay is unconscionable, considering the risk that exists for U.S. troops, airline passengers, and cargo shippers who rely on safe air transportation," unquote. ALPA emphasizes that every segment of the industry had a voice in the process that created a recommended science-based regulation to provide one level of safety for all Part 121 operations. Officials in both the Transportation Security Administration and local security at JFK International Airport in New York are admitting proper procedures were not followed in the case of Lori Dorn. She went to JFK to fly on Virgin America to San Francisco after undergoing a bilateral mastectomy and treatment for breast cancer. Dorn had also received medical implants called tissue expanders in preparation for future reconstructive surgery. The implants, according to the manufacturer, contain a metallic component which is not compatible with MRI and, quote, "that may be detected by security screening devices," unquote. In Lori's case, at the checkpoint, they were indeed detected by the scan. At that point, Dorn recalls in her blog, quote, "I was asked to step aside to have my breast area examined. I explained to the agent that I was a breast cancer patient, was not comfortable with having my breasts touched, and that I had a card in my wallet that explains the type of expanders, serial numbers, and my doctor's information, and I asked to retrieve it. This request was denied. Instead, she called over a female supervisor who told me the exam had to take place. I was again told that I could not retrieve the card and needed to submit to a physical exam in order to be cleared. She then said, 'And if we don't clear you, you don't fly,' loud enough for other passengers to hear. And they did, and they stared at the bald woman being yelled at by a TSA supervisor. To my further dismay, my belongings, including my computer, were completely out of sight. I had no choice but to allow an agent to touch my breasts in front of other passengers," unquote. Dorn says she has since received apologies from both JFK security and the TSA. But the TSA hints on its own blog, there's only so much it can do. Quote, "Medical cards, whether from a physician or TSA, do not exempt you from screening. In this case, our officers should have allowed the passenger to present her card and been more empathetic to her situation while completing the screening process," unquote. There has been more criticism recently of the Obama administration for canceling the Constellation program, leaving the U.S. at the mercy of the Russian Soyuz program for crew and cargo missions to the International Space Station for what could be years. Much of that criticism has come from companies and politicians with vested interests in Constellation's massive spending. In apparent response, NASA Administrator Charles Bolden said during a roundtable discussion with other space agency leaders at the annual Congress of the International Astronautical Federation on Monday that first deliveries of supplies by a commercial carrier to the station could come within months rather than years. AFP News reports the remarks came during a meeting among heads of the space programs of many of the ISS partner nations held on Monday. He said the space station will, quote, "continue to be the centerpiece of our human spaceflight activities through at least 2020, unquote. Vladimir Popovkin, the head of Russia's Federal Space Agency, told the meeting that the next crew launch to the ISS is currently planned for November 14th. Soyuz launches had been halted after a Progress cargo vessel failed to reach orbit and made an uncontrolled return to Earth and impacted in Siberia back in August. Still ahead, the Pure Power Geared Turbofan reaches a milestone. A small Pennsylvania airport celebrates an FAA grant. And controllers in Pittsburgh clear operations on a closed runway. Again, you're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 6th. I'm Paul Plagg. Ground testing of Pratt & Whitney's first PW1200G family engine, the 1217G designed for the Mitsubishi Regional Jet, recently wrapped up. The engine is the first of an 8-engine validation and certification program and completed more than 300 hours and 1,100 cycles of testing. The 1217G test program will run a total of 8 test engines through next year, leading up to the first flight on an actual aircraft. Entry into service is scheduled for 2014. The Pure Power family uses a gear system and advanced core to deliver what the manufacturer says will be double-digit percentage improvements in fuel efficiency and emissions, with a 50% reduction in noise over today's engines. The Pure Power has also been chosen as exclusive power for the Bombardier C-Series, scheduled to enter service in 2013. It will also power the Airbus A320neo starting in 2015 and the Irkut MC-21 narrowbody jet scheduled to enter service in 2016. Local officials are cheering the news that the FAA has awarded a $2.55 million grant for improvements to runway 1028 at Beaver County Airport in Pennsylvania. Congressman Jason Altmaier made the announcement yesterday. Airport Director Beth Lavelle calls it great news. She tells the Beaver County Times the 4,500 by 100-foot runway was last repaved in 1990. Online directories describe the runway as being in fair condition. Dan Donatella, chairman of the Airport Authority, says there are cracks in the runway and some deteriorating areas. The grant is reportedly contingent on contributions of 2.5% each, that's about $60,000 each, from both the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and the Airport Authority. Both have already budgeted that. Representative Altmaier predicts the renovation work, expected to be finished by late summer of next year, will create jobs and help the county in attracting more traffic to the airport. And finally today, the FAA says it's looking into 5 incidents in which controllers cleared planes, including 3 commercial flights, for takeoff from runway 28 right at Pittsburgh International Airport last week. That's a problem because the runway was closed due to lightning damage to the lighting. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports the takeoffs happened between 7:20 and 7:28 a.m., the morning of Tuesday, September 28th, even though the FAA says controllers were aware the runway wasn't open. The paper reports a visual aid in the tower had been damaged and did not display the closed runway information. All the flights departed safely. There was no one working on the runway at the time, and no injuries were reported. The Airport Authority was scheduled to meet with the FAA to discuss the incidents. After a similar case involving takeoffs from runway 10 Center at the same airport back in January, 5 hours after that runway was closed for maintenance, controllers were required to get refresher training. Sounds like they're stale again. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.